This morning is the communion service, as you can see from the decoration, if you please, on the table before you. This past summer, part of my time was spent in Minden, at a cottage of one of our members who made it available to my family and me. And one of the things I did while I was in Minden, I spent a great deal of time listening to men of God from other eras, as well as from this present one. And one of the men I spent my time listening to was J. Sidlow Baxter. One of the tapes that I listened to while driving up in the Muskokas, my wife and myself, was a theme he took from the Old Testament right through to the New, dealing with the Lamb of God. I was moved by it. I was challenged by it. And I thought that one of the things I was going to do during the communion services for the rest of the year, right into next year, is each communion service I will choose that theme, not his message. I took nothing from him. What he gave was from my own heart and meditation. In fact, I'm not even starting where he started. He does not even deal with this one, so I'm not repeating what I've heard. But I was moved by it for this reason. The communion is intended to focus our attention upon a work of God that is central to our very existence with God. Without Christ's death on the cross, we have absolutely no way of knowing how gracious God is. Without Christ's resurrection from the tomb, we have no hope for tomorrow. And so I chose this morning, beginning with Genesis chapter 3, for our meditation on what I call a picture of the Lamb. A picture of the Lamb. And I trust that by the Spirit's ministry, you shall see the significance of this as we come to the communion table. The Lord Jesus said that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're showing his death until he comes. And I trust that our focus of attention will be upon Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, this morning. Just one verse from which our text is taken, but we'll be looking at a few verses from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, verse 21. And the Lord God, and note that compound noun for God, if you please, adjective, if you please, description, it's a rich, rich designation, if you please, of God, the Lord God. It speaks of all the fullness of the Godhead. When you see that term being used in the Bible, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. The Lord God made garment of skin, or from skin, for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. It is significant that you understand that sin had entered into the world at this point of human history. Never before has anything such as is taking place in the garden has ever taken place before. Sure, in the eternities of eternities, somewhere back there, Lucifer, the morning star, had fallen from his place. He did not keep his first estate. And way back there was a rebellion, something that you and I know absolutely nothing about. But as far as human history is concerned, we have nothing like this from which we can take any illustration because it had not happened before. And the scripture tells us that Adam and Eve now became aware of their nakedness. Keep that word in mind for a minute, if you please. And as they came aware of their nakedness, they sowed for themselves fig leaves. All of a sudden, they became aware that something was drastically wrong with their appearance. But it was more than their appearance, as we shall see. And so, in order to deal with the tremendous sense of shame and guilt they now felt, they sold for themselves fig leaves to take care of the situation, which of course could not. For though they were clothed with their fig leaves, the scripture says, when they heard the Lord walking in the cool of the day, and they heard his voice, they hid themselves because they were naked. Isn't it amazing? They clothed themselves with the fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And when they heard the voice of God, they hid themselves because they were naked. Obviously, what they clothed themselves with didn't do. Or they would still stand in the presence of God, whose presence they were enjoying prior to what we call the fall of man. Man is now in a fallen state. He has become aware of the difference between him and God, between sin and righteousness, between holiness and unholiness, between purity and impurity. He becomes aware that something is wrong with him. Of course, I'm dealing with Adam and Eve. And they became deeply conscious of the need for covering. Covering. Not simply to cover the naked body, but something that would do for the presence of God, something that God can look at and be satisfied with them. And of course, when they heard the voice in the garden, they knew that they could not stand that thrice holy presence. And so in the garden, we're confronted with two great themes. The first, the demand for a covering. The demand for a covering. These people needed to be covered. They needed something that could stand the blazing, fiery purity of the scrutiny of God. They needed something that could bear his holy presence. And the fig leaves did not do. There were two reasons, my friends, for that demand. Two reasons. The first of the demand was the holy character of God. Now, my friends, nothing is more urgent in the day and the time in which you and I are living than to understand that God is not some Santa Claus living somewhere that just turns to us whenever we wimp or whatever the case might be, and he just says, okay, what is it that you want? Look at what we read in verse 8 of our text. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. And they heard the call of God. And then, my friends, with a sense of almost agony, we are told in verse 9, when God called, Adam answered, representing the head of his home, and he said, we hid ourselves from your presence. Hiding from God. My friends, from the time of Adam and Eve's sin, every man, every woman born in the world has been born hiding from the presence of God. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. The presence of God is an awesome thing that each of us will have to deal with one of these days. Adam and Eve, when they felt themselves actually estranged from God, they hid themselves. I read in Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, that in that day when the fierce wrath of God is seen upon the face of the earth, men will call upon the mountains to fall on them because they cannot stand the presence of God. The holy character of God is said, my friends, to cause the very angels in heaven to cry, holy, holy, holy. That's the awesome presence of God. It is something we must all stand before one of these days and either be accepted with the right covering or realize that our covering did not do for either time or will it do for eternity. They needed a covering. Everything about them cried for one. And so they tried the best they knew how with the best sincerity that was possible. if we would probably show God that we are really sorry for what we have done and we're going to cover ourselves, perhaps God will take our good intentions and He will respond to it. Not so. Not so. They needed a covering because, my friends, you see, you and I do not know the absolute purity of God and what that demands to exist in its presence. We don't know that. Does a father or does a mother convey to a wayward child how deep the wound they have caused? Do they not hide themselves so that the child would not see what agony they're going through? If we feel that way, they don't know, because they see us. I remember talking to a mother once, not here, who was going through some real difficulty with her children. And I said to her, "Has your children ever seen you crying?" And she said, "Oh no, I could never let them see me crying." I said, "Then they'll never know how deeply you're hurting. They'll never know." And here, my friends, God was offended by what this couple had done. They knew not the depth that their sin had actually caused. And by the way, sin is not an act. Sin is a relationship broken. Sin is a relationship broken. The holy character of God demanded a covering. Who can stand before that? But my friends, human conscience needed a covering. Human conscience. Look at what they said. For the first time in history, I was naked. I hid myself because I was afraid. Adam and Eve never used that word before. Afraid. God's presence never actually caused them to be terrified while they existed in the garden in purity. While the relationship was yet whole. But here, when sin entered, they hid themselves because conscience said to them, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Around the turn of the century, about 1915, a great German theologian, philosopher, by the name of Rudolf Otto, O-T-T-O, wrote a book which is still used in some quarters. And the book that Otto wrote was The Idea of the Holy. And he made an inquiry of people all around the world to check to see what it is that people fear the most. And as he made his inquiry, he came to what he called the numinos. Numinos. That is, every place I went, I found that people were aware of some vague, incomprehensible something that caused terror whenever they thought upon it. Every place. There was not one group of people, says Otto, that I checked that did not have that sense of what he later called, I love this term, I practice it myself, the mysterium tremendum. Love that. But you know what it simply means, friends? The awesome mystery. Mysterium tremendum. Awesome mystery. I can't explain the existence of why, when I do something wrong, even though no one is seeing me, I become deeply aware of offending someone. Somebody's there. This sense of this mysterious, awesome presence, my friends, says one writer, is like quicksilver in our creation. Everywhere that man is found, in fact, I love, in 1956, you remember when Nikita Khrushchev was alive, when he went to the United Nations? And Nikita Khrushchev was just so angry with Richard Nixon. And he took his shoes off in the United Nations, and he banged their shoes on the desk, and he said, "That is wrong." Can you imagine someone who doesn't believe in the existence of a moral God saying something is wrong? every place you go, there is that sense of the mysterium tremendum. It happened to Adam and Eve, my friends. God was not even in their presence at that time, but they heard the sound of his voice and they hid themselves because there was that awesome presence of God. Human conscience demands a covering. Let me quickly go on. From the demand of a covering because of a holy character and human conscience, we now go to the design of a covering. The design of a covering. 3:21 again of our text. And the Lord God made... Now the King James has a very unfortunate translation of the original. The King James says, the Lord God made garments of skins. Literally, my friends, in the Hebrew, in the original, he made garments of skin. Just one. Just one. How significant is that? Because, my friends, this was a picture of the Lamb, and there's only one Lamb. Not a whole lot. He didn't have to kill a lot of sacrifices to make the garments for them. He killed just one. A picture of the Lamb of God that was to come later on to take away the sins of the world. Three things about this design. First, the benevolence of the designer. The Lord God made. Was it not God that was offended? Was it not God that was disobeyed? Was it not God who had gave the orders in Eden? You may eat of every tree, but of this one tree you may not. Was it not this holy character who caused our first parents to run in hiding? And yet it was this God who came and did something for them. We read, my friends, in Revelation 13 that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Long before our parents sinned, God had the plan to rescue the sinners. Before the foundation of the world, what was in the heart of God when he caused his Son to come from heaven to be the sacrificial lamb? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Someone wrote it this way. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever the greatest opportunity, believeth the greatest simplicity, in him the greatest attraction, should not perish the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, eternal life the greatest possession. It was God. Oh, to grace! How great a debt of God for his great love wherewith he has loved us. There, my friends, in Eden, our first parents hiding from God, and God, in his own eternal counsels, provided for them what was necessary to cover them so they can behold his presence. Benevolence. Love. So amazing, so divine, says their hymn writer. The benevolence of the designer. More could be said. But from the benevolence of the designer, we go to the beauty of the design. The beauty of the design. Garments of skin. One sacrifice sufficient for Adam and for Eve. Sufficient. Paul, writing later on, says, Jesus Christ gave himself, no one else. No help from angels for your sacrifice and mine. No help from Mary for your sacrifice and mine. No help from the patriarchs. Nothing at all. Christ gave himself. God officiated the first sacrifice for the redemption of humanity. And we come to the table this morning, my friends, to celebrate not the picture of the Lamb, but the glory of the Lamb. He has already been slain. He's already risen. He sits in glory now. Oh, what a wonder. What a beauty. There in the mind of God, he knew exactly what he was doing. Did Adam and Eve understand? I think not. But they knew that if God provided, it was sufficient. It was sufficient. I ask this morning, my dear friends, with what are you trying to cover yourself? What fig leaves are we using today to try and withstand that blazing glory of God? What fig leaves? Unless you're using the one he has provided, it will not do. Right where you are this morning, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you can do that. A simply cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, can change your standing before him so you can look into that presence and say, Father. The beauty, way back there in the garden, God is showing that if sin is to be dealt with, it must be dealt with by a sacrifice. And he caused the first sacrifice to be a picture of the Lamb. The beneficiaries of the design, 3:21, and he clothed them, Adam and Eve. He clothed them. St. Paul, writing centuries later, could say, that I might be found when I stand in the presence of God, not with the righteousness which my heritage gave to me, not with the righteousness which is of my religious background, but the righteousness which is of faith in Christ, which God accepts. Romans 5:6-8 says, when we were enemies, Christ died. Enemies of God. When we were without strength, Christ died. For whom? The ungodly. For me. For you. The beneficiaries, my friends, of this design was not for the angels. It was not for the fallen angels. I don't know why angels that have fallen are not redeemable. But you and I are. And God provided the Lamb pictured in the sacrifice for Adam and for Eve. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? The scripture says he came into the world to save sinners. Not the righteous, but sinners. And my friends, by one act of faith, in the finished work of Christ, once for all, he no longer sacrifices himself. He did it in the middle of history, as it were. And from the cross, there was the anticipation before the cross. And from the cross, there is the looking backwards to the cross. And so all history meets there. And God redeems all who put their trusts in the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world for the redemption of the world. What a great picture. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, pictured for us in Genesis 3. May God cause us to come to the table rejoicing, for we come to celebrate the Lamb slain for us. Father, as we come to the table now, may this picture of the Lamb be truly clarified by the work of the Spirit of God. If there should be one in this place this morning who has not put his faith or trust in Jesus Christ, who has been trusting in his or her own covering, may they see this morning that that covering will not do, but that God has provided the covering that is needed, the covering that is accepted. The one who has offended has himself provided for the offender. Oh, we give you thanks this morning in Christ's name. Amen.